Max Pump and Well Service, we believe integrity is the cornerstone of everything we do. This month, we proudly salute our armed forces and first responders, those who embody true service, dedication, and integrity. When you choose us for your pump and well needs, you're choosing a company that shares those same values. Thank you for your service. Let us serve you with pride. 530-282-5395. Call us at 530-282-5395, license 109-0355.
The Ready Fashion Alliance is dedicated to making sewing, fashion, and business education accessible for everyone. We are a nonprofit located at 1616 Market Street. Get ready for November 9th as we present Artisan Avenue, The Craft of Fashion. Experience a runway of a blend of couture fashion to wearable art. Tickets will be available starting October 1st on our website at readingfashionalliance.org. Our call for fashion designers for Artisan Avenue is open until August 31st. Visit our website for more information on how to enter into the fashion show.
From the historic campus of Hillsdale College in Hillsdale, Michigan, where the good, the true, and the beautiful are taught, nurtured, and honored, this is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour, bringing the activity and education of the college to listeners across the country.
Ludwig von Mises talked about, once the government intervenes, it causes unintended consequences. These unintended consequences call for more government intervention, which lead to more unintended consequences and more government intervention, until he argued that you finally end up with socialism.
This is your host, Scott Bertram. Welcome to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour, part of the Hillsdale College Podcast Network. That was Dr. Gary Wolfram, William Simon Professor of Economics and Public Policy, Director of Economics and Professor of Political Economy at Hillsdale College. He joins us today as we discuss the plan from Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris to enact price controls or price caps. Dr. Wolfram, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, I'm glad to be back.
Talking today about the Harris idea plan for price controls, or she calls them price gouging bans. Let's start by defining what we know. What do we know about the Harris plan for price controls, particularly on food, right? Inflation fighting,
yes,
is what she claims.
She started out just talking about food, but more recently she's also talking about rent control. And actually, one of the interesting things will be that once you've decided you can do it on food and you can do it on rents, then you've set a precedent, and then the government will end up setting all sorts of prices.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting that Nobel Prize winner Milton Friedman, he once said, We economists may not know much about things, but we do know how to create a shortage, and that's price controls.
So how do price controls disrupt the balance in the economy between supply and demand?
Well, I always tell my students, you know, like 9 million people woke up today in New York City and there was exactly the right amount of Starbucks coffee and exactly the right amount of peanuts and everything else. We should just be totally amazed that that's what happens. Every day we should just wake up and say, oh my gosh. And you know, it'll happen tomorrow, and it happened in Hillsdale, and it happens all around. And that's because of prices. If there's too much of a good out there, we don't just have it piling up, you know, and the shelves kept getting more and more of the stuff. What'll happen is, if there's too much of the stuff, then the producers will lower the price and they won't make as much stuff in the future. If there's too little, it's not like, oh, we'll just go, you know, do without. What will happen is, if there's too little, then what will happen is the producers will raise their price. And as they raise their price, they'll start making more of the stuff, and we will buy less of it, until eventually we get about to what we call equilibrium,
mm-hmm,
that the quantity demanded will equal the quantity supplied. And if you have the government comes in and doesn't allow that price mechanism to work, well, you're going to be if you don't have Rocky and Bullwinkle, he'll say, well, somebody must have goofed up somewhere, and that's what's going to happen. So prices are the key mechanism to signal information about how to make markets work. And when the government comes in and says, oh, we don't like what that price is, then you'll always end up with shortages.
Where have we seen price controls lead to shortages in other countries?
Oh, they're in Argentina. there was price controls. It's sort of interesting that everywhere that you have price controls, you have a shortage.
Mm-hmm.
There's no question. How do you get rid of them? You get rid of the price controls. And like I said, notice that what will happen, too, is if you put price controls on rental housing, for example, what's going to happen is there's going to be a shortage of rental housing. So then what will happen is the government will step in and it will then say, oh, we're going to subsidize the production of rental housing. And then what they'll have to do is then they'll start setting the price of cement and they'll start setting the price of steel. And, actually Ludwig von Mises talked about, in his book that I have in my class called Liberalism in the Classical Tradition that he wrote in 1927. And he said, once the government intervenes, it causes unintended consequences. These unintended consequences call for more government intervention, which lead to more unintended consequences and more government intervention until he argued that you finally end up with socialism.
Mm.
Now, we're not quite there yet, but we certainly have a good deal more government intervention in the goods and services markets than we did back in 1927 when he wrote the book.
Talking with Dr. Gary Wolfram about price controls and Kamala Harris's price gouging ban proposal. What about investment innovation in those industries where prices are then artificially capped?
Yes, that's a very good point. The profit and price are the incentive to take on the risk of innovation. Innovation is risky, right? Two out of every three businesses or something like that fail in the first 3 years. When you were Steve Jobs and you decided to drop out of college in order to, you know, produce a phone, you don't know that it's going to work out, right? You have to, and when you're doing something innovative, you have to figure out how am I going to design it? You know, how am I going to produce it? What's going to be the cost? How much are people willing to pay for such a thing? And if that incentive is not there, then well, we're not going to have innovation. And, you know, Mises talked about that as well in Liberalism. But the incentive to take on that risk of innovating is going to be dampened if we know that the government can come in and set the price whenever it thinks that the price has gotten too high.
Kamala Harris would say the price controls are in effect to fight inflation. Do they do anything to inflation? Does that inflation simply move to other sectors that are then not price controlled by the government? What happens?
Well, okay. Inflation is when, and Milton Friedman talked about this as well, inflation is when the supply of money grows faster than output.
Mm-hmm.
If I want to cause inflation, I could do something that would reduce output. So price controls will reduce output. So realistically, price controls, rather than combating inflation,
mm-hmm.
are going to cause inflation. There'll be people moving, you know, if I'm, you know, have price controls on shirts, right? Well, I'll figure out to move to, you know, something else that, you know, sweaters or
right.
cashmere or something like that. So you create all sorts of, you know, the like I said, the unintended consequences of these things. We need to think through if I don't let the price of hot dogs go up, if I fix the price of hot dogs, well, then what's going to happen? People are going to have more hamburgers, right? And so, and it's going to affect the amount of hot dog buns there are.
Mm-hmm.
And that'll affect maybe the amount of hamburgers, the amount of hamburger buns. And so things are totally interconnected in a market. You can't just affect one little thing. And people don't sort of realize how interrelated things are until they start, again, like seeing, observing.
If price controls don't work and never have, what's the next step if they're implemented? Where do they turn next?
Well, price controls are going to cause, all, as I said before, more and more government intervention. Because if you set a price control, you are going to create shortages. You know, that is for sure. Because the quantity demanded of this stuff is going to be greater than the quantity supplied at that price, right? Because
mm-hmm.
I can't force people to make the stuff.
Right.
If I set price controls on restaurant food, I can't force restaurants to do that. And so what will happen is that you'll have the substitutes will, people will change the demand for substitutes, and that'll affect the prices there. Again, overall inflation is due to the total money supply growing faster than the quantity, and price controls are going to limit the quantity, and that's going to cause more inflation. Now, it may not create price increases in that particular good, but it's going to create price increases in all sorts of other things.
Dr. Gary Wolfram is William Simon Professor of Economics and Public Policy, Director of Economics and Professor of Political Economy at Hillsdale College. We talk about Kamala Harris's idea for price controls. Dr. Wolfram, thanks so much for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Glad to be here again.
Up next, Hans von Spakovsky from the Heritage Foundation joins us to talk about what he calls unlawful interference in state election administration. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Everybody has been dealing with the availability of homeowners insurance in Northern California. Companies not writing your home insurance anymore are leaving the state altogether. Siskiyou Insurance has hired a specialist specifically for dealing with a homeowners crisis here in Shasta County. He specializes in what the market is doing, coverages, and which companies may be able to help. Call Brian Dews at Siskiyou Insurance Services for your home or auto consultation. Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
Hello, Northern California. This is Rollin with the Flag Center. With fire season clearly upon us, we're inviting you to join us in celebrating all police, firefighters, and first responders who keep us safe day and night through thick and thin. We salute you. The Flag Center keeps plenty of thin blue line and thin red line flags in stock. To get yours, stop by the Flag Center at 2124 Hilltop Drive or on the web at theflagcenter.com. Flags, flagpoles, and accessories since 1980.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
Looking for the freshest top-shelf flower? Look no further than the Queen of Dragons in the city of Shasta Lake, where they work directly with small, local farmers to bring you the finest flower that fits your price. But that's not all. The Queen of Dragons has the best prices on carts, edibles, concentrates, and pre-rolls. Plus, don't miss happy hour every day from 6 p.m. until close and all day Sundays. Don't just stock up on toilet paper. The Queen of Dragons has great deals, so you can stock up on the best flower for the best prices. So what are you waiting for? Stop by Queen of Dragons at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard or call 530-238-5638 for details or delivery. That's 530-238-5638. And don't forget to follow Queen of Dragons on Facebook and X at the Queen Dragons for all the latest deals and updates. Support Queen of Dragons, a local business in the city of Shasta Lake, where you will find the most friendly and knowledgeable staff. Queen of Dragons at 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard. And it's election season, so don't forget to vote.
John Cruz here with America Outdoors Radio. Be sure to tune in this weekend and catch the latest in fishing, hunting, conservation, and destinations. If you love spending time in the field or on the water or in the woods, you're going to love this show. It's America Outdoors Radio, the fastest growing outdoors radio show in the nation. Tune in Saturdays from noon to 1 p.m. on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM KCNR, your talk radio.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon until 2. Our expert guests will give you the whole story rather than a bunch of sound bites. Our commercial-free archives are always available at wethepeopleradio.us.
Sponsored in part by Pape Machinery, located at 3119 Twinview Boulevard, for all your local John Deere Ag and Turf products. Join us every Sunday from noon until 2, WeThePeopleRadio.us.
What shall we do about them?
Welcome back to the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. I'm Scott Bertram. Be sure to follow the show on X. We're at Hillsdale Radio. We're joined now by Hans von Spakovsky. He is manager of the Election Law Reform Initiative and senior legal fellow in the Edwin Meese Center for Legal and Judicial Studies at the Heritage Foundation. More at heritage.org. Hans, thanks so much for joining us.
Sure, thanks for having me.
Talking about a background piece you wrote over at heritage.org a couple of weeks ago, on Joe Biden's executive order 14019, unlawful interference in state election administration. What is this Biden executive order all about?
Joe Biden issued an executive order telling all executive branch departments and agencies, everybody from the Department of Defense to the Justice Department, to have all of their personnel get directly involved in voter registration and helping individuals obtain and vote their absentee ballots. This is something that has never happened in the entire history of the United States, of a president basically putting the executive branch of the federal government in getting them involved in elections, which are run by the states. And look, there are just numerous problems with this. I mean, first of all, he's got no constitutional authority to do this. He's got no statutory authority to do this. In fact, when federal personnel, federal employees, are instead of doing the work they're supposed to be doing, for example, at the Justice Department, are instead registering people to vote, spending money on that, they're violating federal law. There's a law called the Anti-Deficiency Act that says that federal employees can't spend money on something that Congress hasn't authorized or appropriated money for. So this is really an interference in what the states are doing. And frankly, I think it's a partisan interference in the election.
The order was issued March 7th, 2021. What was the rationale? What was the reason that the Biden administration gave to issue this order?
Well, if you look at the first part of the order, Joe Biden makes all these claims about how all these Americans, particularly minority voters, minority Americans, African Americans, others, are being kept from registering to vote and are being kept from voting. That is complete and total nonsense. I mean, he's making that up. His claims of discrimination, or that state and local officials are keeping Black residents of their states, for example, from registering and voting, there's just no evidence of that whatsoever. In fact, as you may know, in 2020, we had the largest turnout in a presidential election in decades. It even exceeded the turnout of when Barack Obama was elected in 2008, and that was record-setting itself.
Hans, what has the execution of this executive order looked like in terms of actual actions from the executive branch?
Well, part of the problem there is we've been trying to find out for the past 2 years without success, because the Justice Department, in lawsuits filed, trying to get information on what these agencies are doing, has claimed that all their actions are subject to presidential executive privilege, so they're not going to say what they're doing. But we have discovered that it's everything from, for example, the U.S. Marshals Service, which handles federal prisoners, people who've been convicted in federal trials, as they are handling those prisoners, as they are taking them to federal prison, they're now have to make sure that they are registered to vote. They have to give them the paperwork for that. They have to help them obtain absentee ballots, despite the fact they have no training in this. And in fact, most states, almost all the states, say you can't vote when you have been convicted of a felony and are in prison. They also have been inviting third-party organizations, supposed nonprofits, but only those on the left side of the political aisle who support the Democratic Party, actually to come into government offices and handle the voter registration, ballot obtaining process for these federal agencies, which is in essence a way of doing or getting the government involved in a get out the vote campaign for the Democratic Party and Democratic candidate.
Hans von Spakovsky with us. We talk about Biden's executive order 14019, interference in the state election administration. More on this backgrounder at heritage.org. There's a piece of the executive order, Hans, that says that every federal agency has to submit a plan, a strategic plan, how they're going to carry out the executive order. I imagine, much as you just outlined, that those plans are not available for us to know. There are probably things happening that we just don't know about.
No, that's exactly right. And in fact, it's those plans which the Justice Department has said, oh, no, we don't have to turn over. They're not subject to Freedom of Information Act requests, which is a very odd position to take. They have even refused to give that information to secretaries of state, more than a dozen.
Hans, there are some federal agency staffs that are people who apply for Social Security benefits or former members of the military applying for veterans benefits. It is at
right.
those opportunities that they are encouraging them, asking them, helping them set up to vote. That could cause some confusion and perhaps even some intimidation among the voting public, I imagine.
No, I think that is a real problem. That's why the federal government should not be involved in this, because look, the individuals who are applying for government benefits, for example, Social Security disability benefits, look, those are vulnerable individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And when they are applying for benefits and they have the government clerk, the government employee, they're dealing with saying, oh, by the way, we've got your application for benefits. We're reviewing it to see if you're entitled. But in the meantime, you need to register to vote. And can I help you with your absentee ballot? Well, what's that person supposed to think? I'm sure they think, well, I'd better do what this guy is telling me to do, this federal employee, and boy, I better vote for the party in power in the White House or my benefits might not get approved.
Hans, the National Voter Registration Act does allow federal offices to act as voter registration agencies, but only if they've been designated by the state to do so. That does not appear to be the case in many of these instances, or most of these instances. Is this another way that this act is violating, in fact, federal law?
Oh, yeah. What the Biden administration is doing is, in fact, violating the National Voter Registration Act. Yeah, federal offices can become voter registration agencies. You know, the equivalent of DMV offices where you can get registered when you get your driver's license, but only if the state officially appoints them to do that. And in fact, the Biden administration has ignored that requirement, which is why there's now at least four lawsuits that have been filed. They were filed late this summer by about a dozen states against the Biden administration, trying to get an injunction to stop this misbehavior by the federal government, in part because it does violate the National Voter Registration Act.
Hans von Spakovsky is manager of the Election Law Reform Initiative and senior legal fellow in the Edwin Meese Center for Legal and Judicial Studies at the Heritage Foundation. You can find more, including this background piece, at heritage.org. Hans, thanks so much for joining us here on the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Sure, thanks for having me.
Up next, we're joined by Hillsdale English professor Dr. Pat Bart as we begin an exploration into the history of the English language. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Hi, this is Cindy at Lauchs Landscape Supply, and we're excited to celebrate our fifth anniversary with you. October 4th through the 13th is your chance to save big on products like 2.5-gallon Ranger Pro for only $59 a jug, low mulch mix for only $36 a yard, or pavers for your new walkway or patio start at $3.99 a square foot. It's that time of year to prevent the weeds before they start with 50-pound bags of Dimension pre-emergent covering over 10,000 square feet and on sale for only $33.99 a bag. Considering a water feature, we have pond liner pumps and all the accessories to make your water feature come to life. needing to prep the driveway before the winter rains? Road Base starts at $34 a yard. Maybe you're planning a winter garden this year. Our popular Garden Power Soil will be on sale for only $51.99 a yard. So come celebrate and save with us at Laux Landscape Supply October 4th through the 13th at the intersection of Durst, Stern Creek, and Airport Road. Check us out online at LauxLandscape.com or give us a call at 530-378-2220 for all your construction, landscape supplies, and rental needs. Laux Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Firearms Instruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Simpson University is having their annual golf classic. This is a fundraiser for Simpson Athletics, October 11th at the Riverview Golf Course at 4200 Bocelli Lane. The Simpson University Golf Classic includes a tri-tip lunch, Nike polo, a golf hat, Pro V1 golf balls, and much more. The event also features a silent auction with a shotgun start at 8 a.m. Contact Rob Harley at 417-459-7297 or email rharley@simpsonu.edu.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew, and this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Gran Habanos Corojo No. 5 with the unusual shaggy foot. Offering two distinct experiences, Corojo No. 5 comes from Honduras with Nicaraguan, Mexican, and Costa Rican tobaccos. Finished off with a spicy Nicaraguan Corojo wrapper leaf for a heavy and rich smoke. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Redding, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson. And find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Join Tolkien's Radio Show every Sunday at 2 p.m. on 96.5 FM and AM 1460 as hosts Christy Matthews and Linda Kent explore the exciting world of cryptocurrency and blockchain technology. Learn how Bitcoin is revolutionizing finance and grasp sound money principles. Hear new perspectives on achieving financial freedom beyond broken institutions. The future of money is here. Empower yourself with knowledge. Listen to Tolkien's Radio Show with Linda and Christy this Sunday at 2 p.m. on KCNR. Big and exciting changes are underway.
If you're tired of artificial intelligence and dishonest news, tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday at 8 a.m.
Join Nick Gardner and Doug Janke, two hosts who were educated at School of Hard Knocks. Get a layman's view of local government as well as our take on national and world events.
If you're woke, go back to bed. You won't like us. We believe there's a difference between a man and a woman, and I think you probably know what it is.
Tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday, 8 a.m. here on KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM and 1468.
Inspiration for even trying to write a book on the history of the English language, which I'm doing at the moment, in that the traditional textbooks out there, they can be very, very expensive, and they're very strange in the areas in which they don't cover. One of the classic textbooks, has a figure of the human head from the side, with the organs of speech. It's labeled the organs of speech. And you've got the tongue, you've got the oral cavity, you've got the teeth and various things. And there's one really shocking omission in this. You can see, I've given you a copy of it. It has no brain. Okay, so I thought, good grief, you know? I mean, language without the brain is difficult at best. You've really got to talk about the whole human being. So that's where we start. That's where we start here at Hillsdale College in the seminar on the history of the English language with sort of the neurology of language.
I want to transition into the next point by saying this. I think it's so interesting. You mentioned talk with your hands. I've hosted a lot of radio shows. I'm here with you now. When there's someone in the room, I talk with my hands. But when I'm all alone in a studio, I still talk with my hands, even though no one is there to see that. So language itself and the English language, it's a whole body experience. You mentioned the brain, the mouth, breathing, hands, movements. It's all connected.
we can think of particularly some parts of the brain where we tend to think of language residing sort of in splendid isolation, which of course it does not do. But there's Wernicke's or Wernicke's area of the brain. That's understanding language coming in at you. Broca's area, which I find a lot of people have heard of Broca's area. That's the language coming back out of you, the production of language and speech and writing. Geschwind's territory is the last to mature in the brain, interestingly, and it's used in reading and writing. But, of course, we talk about speech, then we have to have the ears.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you'd be missing a lot if you weren't looking. You're like, look at me when I talk to you, right?
Yeah.
What do we do? We do that. And I just pointed at you when I said that. So, right? And why do we do? Well, that really underscores that we want that person's attention, their full attention, their full apprehension. So the eyes, the ears, the hands, they all come together here, not in this kind of splendid isolation. So we also have to talk about the brain as the somatic controller, if you will, the neocortical control of voluntary breathing. And this is kind of interesting. When we fall asleep, we keep breathing, thank heaven. When we're not thinking about breathing, we breathe, thank heaven, because I would forget to breathe if I had to think about it all the time. Well, that's handled by the medulla oblongata. It's really part of the brain stem. It's not really part of this big part of the brain that we think of as the brain.
Mm-hmm.
But there's the top part of the brain here is what gives us that control of our bodily movements when we're thinking about it, when we decide we want to make a movement. And of course, we're usually so good at making those movements that we don't really think about it, right? We do it sort of automatically. I mean, if you asked me to foxtrot, yeah, I'd have to think about that. And I would say, no, I wouldn't, because I'm so bad at it. But if I want to just turn on my heel and throw my arm out to make a point in class, I don't think about that at all. It just happens, right? And we rarely think about, unless we're ill, we don't really think about the voluntary control of our breath as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think, okay, I want to utter a sentence of 10 words, so I better really take a deep breath. I mean, when do you do that? You do that in choir. I mean, I do that, you know, that's when I do it, right? And I usually run out ahead of time, and it's embarrassing, but at least it's a choir and not a solo, right? You know, so we don't think about that.
How would you compare learning our home language compared to learning a foreign language?
Okay, a lot of people find learning foreign languages very difficult, but I would say, like, there's a lot of insight in, there's a reason for that. There's a lot of insight in calling our home language the mother tongue.
Mm-hmm.
It might be controversial with some people, but the earliest caretakers of a child are his or her models for all kinds of development, most particularly for language. And of course, you know, all of those aunts and uncles who hover over you and go, you know, and you think, why did I just do that? You know, I'm imitating the baby who's supposed to be imitating me. What's going on? Right? The infant used to be viewed as a tabula rasa, right? A blank slate, that somehow our brain was just clay into which ideas would be pressed or something, and it was just flat. But Noam Chomsky has observed that language is really, by an infant, language is really acquired, he says, rather than learned. And we all know this without realizing it. It's one of these brilliant insights that after the person says it, you think, wow, why didn't we all just assume that, you know? But what parent actually sits down with the kids to teach them every aspect of the English language? Like, nobody does that, right? You teach them some refinements. I know that certain members of my family were always teaching me things like, you know, if I said, me and Scott are going to, no, Scott and I are going to make a recording about the, no, and they would correct me like that.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, sure. But the basics of the language, 95 to 99% of what I was learning about the language, I just picked up like a sponge, and so
right.
did you, and so does everybody. And so we instinctively know that the human being is somehow pre-programmed to speak. Now, any given language, I mean, it just depends on where you're growing up,
mm-hmm.
what you're going to speak.
Dr. Bart, how do babies learn to talk. How is that perhaps similar and different for adults who are learning secondary languages?
The infant babbling that we hear, that we imitate, actually, has been shown to include nearly every possible phoneme that appears in nearly every possible human language. So the baby is actually automatically exercising its mouth, its lungs. Who knows, those gestures, maybe the baby thinks that means something. and they're going through almost the way, a gymnast or a skater goes through these rudimentary movements to get good at them. That's what the baby is actually doing by going, right? And then as we mature into our own mother tongue, native language, that group of sounds begins to narrow, and we start hitting upon certain of them a lot more often than others, and then pretty soon some of those others are just gone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So learning a second language, particularly in adulthood, is more difficult, first of all, because we've lost some of those phonemes.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like when you're a little kid and you just kind of play all kinds of sports, and then you become a tennis player. Or, I don't know, have you seen, like, the arms and shoulders on a swimmer right?
Yeah.
You know, right?
Yeah.
And so they start to specialize, and then, well, they're an all-around great athlete. But nobody's an all-around perfect athlete, because you're, whatever sport you're in, it kind of trains your body in a certain way, right? So that's part of it. But, of course, there's also the part of it where the adult will have a certain shame socially over two things. Sounding weird. Okay, making those strange sounds, and then sounding stupid because you've made an elementary mistake.
Mm-hmm.
So if you stay athletically flexible with the noises you make and you don't have shame,
mm-hmm.
right, you realize you're the foreigner and you're just trying, then you might actually find that your ability to learn a foreign language increases greatly.
Dr. Bart will pause there and continue in just a moment as we explore the history of the English language. I'm Scott Bertram. This is the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Court is in session with Letter of the Law on Radio Free Hillsdale 101.7 FM. Hello, my name is Megan Pidcock, and you're listening to Letter of the Law on Radio Free Hillsdale 101.7 FM, where I tell you all about the world's wackiest laws that are still on the books. Washington State is known for its lush forests, the city of Seattle, and, apparently, Bigfoot sightings. Skamania County in Washington has decided to take the supposed presence of Bigfoot seriously by passing an ordinance in 1984 that banned the hunting and killing of Bigfoot, with a punishment of an up to $1,000 fine and possible jail time. This is not the first ordinance to help protect the life of Bigfoot. An initial ordinance was passed in 1969 that made it illegal to hunt Sasquatch, with a much more severe punishment of an up to $10,000.
Experience fall family fun at this year's Turtle Bay Oktoberfest, happening Saturday, October 12th, from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. right here at Paul Bunyan's Forest Camp. Enjoy local breweries, food, live music, animals, games, and more. Oktoberfest-themed costumes are encouraged. Each ticket includes your first beer or root beer for the kids. Presented by Liquor Barn and Sasquatch Car Wash. So join us Saturday, October 12th from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. for Turtle Bay's Oktoberfest. Grab tickets today at turtlebay.org.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. Although Coachmaster is recognized as the authority and specialist in frame and suspension, we are primarily your auto body and truck collision repair center. This includes all vehicles, Lexus, Honda, or pickup trucks. Our technicians are highly trained and have the most advanced equipment to ensure a complete and quality repair. With our knowledge and the insurance claim process, all we need is your claim number to handle your claim. Coachmaster has a great working relationship with all insurance companies. This ensures a complete repair with quality parts and a delay-free process. At Coachmaster, in our 50 years in business, we've experienced almost every situation imaginable in a claim. This experience and personal dedication to the repair of your vehicle sets Coachmaster apart from all other choices. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
The Shasta College Art Gallery is proud to host No Beginning, No End, a collected show of posthumous works by William Wareham, 1941 to 2023. Join us at Shasta College through October 18th with a guest lecture by Philip E. Linhares, Chief Curator of Art Emeritus, Oakland Museum of California on Thursday, October 17th, 5 to 6 p.m. in Room 400. There will be a reception following the lecture from 6 to 7 p.m. in Building 300.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
So if we say n, okay, th, I, and n don't have any meaning by themselves. But then if we say thin, oh, that goes from phoneme to a group of phonemes. The group of phonemes then becomes a morpheme, the smallest unit of meaning in a language. You can add bound morphemes to unbound or free morphemes. You have thin and you have thinnest. I'm not the thinnest person I know, right? Okay, so you can add ist, and it changes the meaning. But ist by itself doesn't right. quite mean much, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pin and pinned. You know, my sorority, I got pinned last night or something, right? So I got pinned. And that adds to the meaning, though id or d doesn't really mean anything by itself. Okay, so it's remarkable that infants and young children pick all this up with relatively few mistakes. I mean, including noticing that you add ud to something and it makes it in the past or
yeah.
whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, again, this is the part of the brilliance of Chomsky's insight that you don't have to sit there and tell your kids, okay, now we're going to learn the past tense, okay, and the future and all that. You don't have to say that.
Talking with Dr. Pat Bart about the history of the English language, how do languages develop? How do languages change?
Human beings don't rely on an absolutely precise enunciation of phonemes, because Southerners, for example, will pronounce, I'm from Pittsburgh, so I say pin and pen, right? But my dissertation director was from East Texas, and he said pin and pin. And they both sounded exactly the same
yeah.
because his dialect fronted the vowel. And likewise, I've heard people, Northerners, it's not just Southerners. I've heard Northerners pronounce, for example, bin, B-E-E-N, I have been, the same way as the man's name, Ben. I've been there. I'm like, no, you've been there. What are you talking about? You know, right? So, and that's backing or retraction. Okay, so that kind of change, as long as it's gradual enough and as long as it doesn't cause some crucial ambiguity that drives people crazy and causes big gaffes and that sort of thing, that's how language change occurs. That's how we get French from Latin. That the gradual mispronunciations over time, and then we habitually do them, and they all still work. We mm-hmm. all still get what's being said. And pretty soon, 100 years go by, and we have a really strong accent, and then 200 or 300 years go by, and we're starting to get really hard for others to understand, right? That adults misapprehend, they mishear things, and of course, I mean, kids do all the time, but two famous kinds of mishearing, one is related to the other, are eggcorns and mondegreens, right? So there's a ballad said in a Scottish accent, right? Ye highlands and ye lowlands, oh, where have ye been? They have slain the Earl of Moray and Lady Mondegreen, And people heard this as they killed the Earl of Moray, but they also killed Lady Mondegreen.
Right.
Like, man, who was she? You know, right? Where's Mondegreen? Where is that? But if you say Lady Mondegreen, you're not a native speaker of that dialect of English. You try to hear what it's saying and you get it wrong,
mm-hmm.
right? The same with acorns. Now, I don't know if you say egg or egg, but if you say egg, and you say corn together really fast, the G and the C come together, and you get acorns. And, of course, you heard that as egg corn, right?
Right.
I mean, and of course, the thing itself is kind of shaped like an egg, some of them,
mm-hmm,
right? Some
mm-hmm.
some acorns are kind of egg-shaped a little bit. And a corn, like, it's like a seed, right? So, you know, there are people who go around their whole lives thinking that that's spelled egg corn, and it makes sense, right? And so we adults do the same thing,
yeah.
right? We misapprehend at times, but it, even in its imprecision, I mean, in some ways, in its imprecision, it makes us laugh, like Lady Mondegreen, that's great. Oh, that's hilarious. You know, I always knew what that said, you know. I don't know, it's some rock songs. There are
songs
where you're just like, I have no idea.
Yeah.
You know, I'll listen to songs from back in the 60s when I was like really little, toddler, and I'll think, wait, that's what that says? Oh my gosh, I had no idea, right?
That's how you see the lyric sheet.
I know, you have to totally look at it before you can tell, so.
How do we name things? How do we invent words, and then how do they become popularized?
Okay, there's a lot to this. I, at the beginning of my seminar each time, I set the students out to do a certain kind of experiment, a social experiment. Yes, we do social experimentation at Hillsdale College. Anyway, they have to try to popularize a word or change an element of grammar, pronunciation, or syntax. And they have to have part of their team be the actors, the ones doing this, and the other part of their team being the observers, as though they had no idea this was going on and it's just happening in front of them. And the new word or new pronunciation has only a faint chance of success. None of them have ever actually succeeded. The changed grammar or syntax is pretty much impossible, and they have reported people just getting irate with them. Like, what are you being such a jerk for? Like, why are you doing this, right? So what is required to popularize something, or what is required even to commit some kind of grammatical error and have people just go along with it? Well, social prestige,
mm-hmm.
right, would be one thing. Now, I think the grammatical error, you'd have to be a dictator, and
sure.
everybody wanted to suck up to you because they're afraid of dying, you know. And over time, that could actually become part of a language, but probably not in the United States, probably not. has to be too many people objecting, right? There also, you know, if there's not a lot of social prestige, but there's a lot of usefulness, if the word meets a real need, like, look, we keep having this verbose phrase to refer to something that's an everyday object or activity, and we need something short for
sure.
that. Then people are going to pick that up, and they're going to use it. Okay. A large number of uses per day helps, and sustained over a long period of time, and then wide distribution. Okay, so a lot of new words come up through social media, you know, say something like YouTube or TikTok or the news or the newspaper or blogs or whatever, where somebody invents a term, other people like it, then since there's such a huge audience, and now especially, since that audience can talk back
yeah.
and repost and whatever, that could actually speed up the popularization of a term. I've tried to do that myself just to see as an experiment, and it's never caught on because I don't have that many followers. But
I'm thinking of a specific example here, though, just to interrupt you
mm-hmm,
briefly,
that's fine.
With the idea of a need for something and then something being popularized. So a way to say something is sort of average or not great, not wonderful. And if you go back into popular culture with The Simpsons, and it's this word meh, M-E-H, which is kind of, it's okay, it's not bad. And Futurama, which is another television show, I think it started with them, this word cromulent, which just means kind of in the middle.
I've never heard this.
And
cromulent.
And then,
I have to memorize that.
And
yeah.
then these days, just very recently, I've noticed an uptick in people using the word mid, M-I-D, to mean the same thing, to mean just totally average, just right
okay.
in the middle. And the way that's maybe 25 years
right.
to a point where people generally understand what you mean if you use those terms.
Right. Yeah. And it's because of the audience, right?
Yes.
And I think cromulent, it just sounds fun. That's why I want to memorize that one, because it's just, although to me it sounds a little more
uppity, right?
Violent or something. Oh. No, it doesn't sound sort of mid or
right.
Okay.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But that's a whole other story. With sounds, words sounding like what they what they mean.
Okay, Dr. Bart, we'll have to end things there for now. We will pick this conversation back up in just a couple of weeks. Dr. Pat Bart from Hillsdale's English Department joins us as we begin this multi-part series, so interesting, The History of the English Language. That will wrap up this edition of the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour. Our thanks to Dr. Gary Wolfram from Hillsdale's Economics Department, Hans von Spakovsky from the Heritage Foundation, and Dr. Pat Bart. The Radio Free Hillsdale Hour is recorded at the studios of WRFH, the student-run radio station at Hillsdale College. Remember, you can hear new episodes every week on this station. You also can find extended versions of some of our interviews or listen anytime to the podcast. Find it at podcast.hillsdale.edu or wherever you get your audio. Until next week, I'm Scott Bertram, and this has been the Radio Free Hillsdale Hour.
Hi, I'm Joshua Palladino, a PhD candidate at Hillsdale College. Here's the preamble to the Constitution of the United States. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. Nearly 140 years after the Constitution's adoption, President Calvin Coolidge said, "To live under the American Constitution is the greatest political privilege that was ever accorded to the human race." Hillsdale College, pursuing truth, defending liberty since 1844.
Do you or someone you love struggle with PTSD, anxiety, depression, insomnia, OCD, alcoholism, substance abuse disorder, autism, ADHD, brain fog, or traumatic brain injury? At Shasta Meadows Wellness Center, Dr. Tiger and his team offer safe, proven, and effective care, even for those resistant to typical medicine. Learn more about Shasta Meadows Wellness Center. They have IV ketamine or at-home oral ketamine. Ask about the state-of-the-art EEG-guided TMS therapy. This customized, safe, no side effect option is effective on a wide range of difficult to treat conditions. Visit us today at ShastaMeadowsWellness.com. Don't just get by, get well.
Call to make an appointment for a free consultation. 530-444-8304. 530-444-8304. Shasta Meadows Wellness Center in Reading.
Hey, this is Carl and Linda Bott. Looking for a staycay or a getaway close to home? Well, the best houseboat rentals are happening right now in September and October at Holiday Harbor.
And the off-season rates at Holiday Harbor are amazing deals. And the lake is a perfect 78 degrees. For more information, go to LakeShasta.com or call 530-238-2383.
At Greg's Pump and Well Service, we believe integrity is the cornerstone of everything we do. This month, we proudly salute our armed forces and first responders, those who embody true service, dedication, and integrity. When you choose us for your pump and well needs, you're choosing a company that shares those same values. Thank you for your service. Let us serve you with pride. 530-282-5395. Call us at 530-282-5395. License 109-0355.
If you're tired of artificial intelligence and dishonest news, tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest every other Sunday at 8 a.m.
Join Nick Gardner and Doug Janke, two hosts who were educated at school of hard knocks. Get a layman's view of local government as well as our take on national and world events.
If you're woke, go back to bed. You won't like us. We believe there's a difference between a man and a woman, and I think you probably know what it is.
Tune in to Poke the Hornet's Nest
every other Sunday, 8 a.m. here on KCNR1460.com, 96.5 FM, and 1460 AM.
Hi friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew, and this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Gran Habanos Corojo No. 5 with the unusual Shaggy Foot. Offering two distinct experiences, Corojo No. 5 comes from Honduras with Nicaraguan, Mexican, and Costa Rican tobaccos. Finished off with a spicy Nicaraguan Corojo wrapper leaf for a heavy and rich smoke. Get yours today. At Tobacco and Brew, Reading.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.